CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, South Africa. OMJ, it's me, Tumi Morake.
And I'm Mavale Moloi.
And you are sipping tea with us this lovely, lovely Tuesday. So...
Is it lovely? You know this weather?
Yes.
The last few days with the rain and the gloom and doom and all of that. But I suppose it's been good.
You don't think it's lovely? I think it's
lovely. No, it's been great.
No sunburn. More water, which means we can waste a bit more water.
Yeah, people were saying, oh, that means I can take longer showers now.
Yeah.
No,
you cannot.
No, the weather has been great. The rain was needed. It was necessary.
Dude.
Yeah.
My joy with this weather is OMJ. For like the farmers and the boers, because boers and farmers are the same thing. But then they mostly speak the language of the boer. So, you know, the boers. Okay. Anyway. So I was like, my gosh.
You're bound to offend at least one person.
You have to offend someone. And they're like getting rain, which means we're getting maize and all of that. Mm-hmm. And everything's growing. Mm. And the animals are eating and drinking. So hopefully food won't be so damn expensive.
Oh, but food is always going to be expensive, but it's even worse
when there's a drought, because then there's even less of them to take out, so they need to make more. Goodness. But also I worry about them, because I'm just like, I feel like I'm an ignorant person in some respects, in that I don't read up on stuff. But I always assume that, you know, in a drought, when you look at these farms and how some of these people who live on those farms, you know, it's also just, it's not all commercial farming. Some of it is subsistence farming. And if you think about those families and what they must be going through who live on the farms. Mm. So I'm always glad when I know that, yeah, it's raining now. There's hope. You know what I mean?
You know it's bad when was it? Was it last year in 2016 or 2015 where some farmers were taking their own lives?
Sure.
I mean, when you get pushed to the brink of that.
Sure.
Because the situation is that dire.
Yeah.
Then you know it's really, really bad. So, yes, we are...
We're grateful.
We're glad for the rain.
We're grateful.
Yeah.
We're grateful.
You have been missed.
No, I've missed you.
Yeah.
You know what happens, Mabale Wena? And I love you so much. And I need the world to understand this. That my absence is not about a lack of love.
No.
My absence is about hashtag Beraka Musadi.
Working hard.
And working hard. And working for people who tend to not be very flexible. Because I was working for a broadcaster who, I was like, but guys, I do this thing on Tuesdays. You know, you found me doing this thing on Tuesdays. And they're like, yeah.
Can
you just give it up for a couple of weeks?
It's not our problem.
You know what I mean?
No, look, everybody has a schedule.
I apologize.
Everybody has a schedule that they need to stick to.
Yeah.
And with these kinds of productions like you're doing on Red Cake.
Red Cake.
That you're doing on Red Cake.
Yeah.
And your kids are in private school.
What did you do to SABC?
What do you mean?
You know, I'm asking, but then maybe I'll get into trouble with them. Let me not ask anymore.
No,
because you know what? I mean, on the show, you don't just invite people. You have to send a list through to the channel, and they have to approve the people you're going to interview.
What do you mean? Why are you asking what did I do to the essay?
I was just asking.
Me personally or...
You. Well, I don't have that kind of power. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it never got past production. Maybe. I don't know. Because I thought it would have been so cool to have you on the show. Maybe we'll have you in the next season.
Oh, I was declined.
I don't know if you were, but you know when you're on somebody's list and then you're like, how come I never got this person? And Nita got at some point random people. I mean, everybody was lovely who came to the show, but it's just that half the time, you know, I was literally having to sit and actually do my homework and go, so who is this person? I've never heard of them in my life. Anywho, but it was fun, and that's what I was doing. And then there's the dental surgery thing.
Okay, so I
still have to go do
backtrack again, because in your mind, you told us about the fact that you need dental surgery. I have no recollection of it.
Excuse.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Stick to it.
So why do you need dental surgery?
I need
again?
Dental surgery because I have a wisdom tooth that needs to go, and I have a tooth that's grown in a very awkward part of my mouth at the back. And so they have to break my jaw to get it out.
They have to break my jaw. No.
And then...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But in this...
How fun is that, though?
In this modern day era, with the technology that we have that have advanced the medical field...
Yeah.
Is there no way they can pull out a tooth without breaking your
angles
jaw.
Angles are angles, bruh. Technology doesn't change angles.
Where is this tooth?
It's when you like when they open my mouth to the max, they still can't get to it to remove it properly. So I have to do that.
Oh.
And then I thought my teeth were stained at the front. Like, people, please take going to the dentist seriously.
Eh.
Because even my upper teeth, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, oh no, this is a stain from all this this coffee I drink. No, my teeth are going bad. And I'm like, what do you mean? In the front? Well, where does that happen? And so now I have to go get that fixed as well. So they're going to get chiseled and I have to go get thingies done. I have to go get caps.
But now, because when you tell me who they're going to have to break your jaw, I'm thinking...
a lot of stuff. So it's cosmetic and medical.
In my mind, I'm picturing Kanye West through the wire
type vibes, where you're
not going to be able
but
to
a lot
speak
of people,
or
I think
or
a lot
chew.
Of people have had to do it, hey, who remove wisdom teeth.
Yes.
Because sometimes they're so far back that they do have to sort of break your jaw to get there. And it's not the kind of thing they can't do while you're up. They need to put you under general anesthetic.
So then when you come out of this situation,
yeah,
how long before you are able to move and chew? Will you be able to speak?
Yeah, the lady was
immediately,
you're
not going to be inconvenienced in that way.
No, the dental surgeon reassured me I'll be fine. I'll be fine in a couple of hours. The following day, I'm doing lip sync battle, so I'll be fine.
I mean, when you said breaking, your jaw is going to be breaked.
I
immediately thought the worst.
My first reaction to her was, dude, you know my mouth is how I make my money.
It's kind of get the bills.
Yeah,
paid.
When they say shake your money maker, I shake my head, you know what I mean? Like, really?
Yes.
So yeah, anyways, I'm doing that, so
it is important, this thing of going to the dentist, though, because
yeah, don't let it get as far as it got with me, guys. I took my kids and I didn't go.
I always get confused about whether this is a molar or a premolar. I think it's one of my molars in the lower jaw. And the reason that I lost this damn thing is because of a cavity that developed. And I didn't even know where the cavity was there because it was, like, in the tooth, on the gum line. So I couldn't see it, right?
You could just feel pain.
And then eventually the pain started to kick in and I was like, yo, okay, this is bad and the pain is getting worse, so let me just go to the dentist. Went to see the dentist and he said, yeah, your tooth can't be saved. We're going to have to, you know, because sometimes...
I love how you say it like that. You can't save it.
No,
you
can't.
There's
nothing we can do. Miss Muroy, I'm sorry. We tried our best. But we couldn't save
it. We're going to have to switch off the machines.
So they pulled out this thing and then I was told about how I could get an implant. And then when they told me the cost of the implant, I was like, kesha apaka my gap. You can't see it anyway. And I don't think medical aid would even cover the implant.
Yeah, they're
situation.
Gonna give you a look. Even me, my medical aid was like, screw you, we're not paying for that thing.
It's insane though.
Yeah.
Okay, but
seriously talking about teeth. People are listening here going, okay, so I tune in to listen to talk dentals.
My bad.
Yes. We are not always about the controversy of life. Sometimes we have normal things happen to us as normal citizens of this country.
Yeah.
Don't judge us.
Yeah.
But listen.
It's good to have you back.
No, it's great to be back.
Yes.
Because you know what? I needed a platform whereby we can talk about these things. Because what has been happening while you and I were apart? The xenophobic stuff sparked again.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this? What the actual fuck? I'm sorry. I get very confused in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I get very confused. You know there are people who... When they're prejudiced, you get confused. You're like, I do not understand your prejudice when you understand what it's like to be discriminated against just because of who you are or what you are, right? So it's like if I meet a racist Jewish person, I get very confused. I'm like, remember the Holocaust? Or if I meet a biased or prejudicial gay person, I'm like, do you know what homophobia is and what happens to, you know, what homophobic people do to gay people?
Yeah.
For you to be treating other people like this when you know what it's like to be treated like that, you're not making any sense to me. Then when you come to South Africa and I see black people treating other black people like this, other Africans like this, I get very confused because I'm like, guys, we still have the stench of apartheid on us. The smell of that smoke is still on our clothes. How are we then treating other people this way? People who look like us.
You know what? You make a good point. I've always thought that it probably goes back to the hierarchy that was created, right? So once upon a time, right at the top of the scale, you'd have the white man.
Mm.
And then in this country, if you were Indian and colored, you were, you know, just a little bit better than the black people. So in my mind, I'm thinking South African black people, in their mind, have created the perception that they are just a little bit above on the hierarchy of, you know, black people from Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria. In my mind, I think that that is how, or that's what it goes back to. I could be wrong, but it is hell of a confusing, you're right.
Because I'm sitting here going, okay, show me a country. If you're going to say no, it's because we are struggling, we are poor, we don't have jobs, this is an economic thing.
But these are all the excuses. These are all the excuses that they've given.
But I'm also saying, show me a country that does not run on the power of foreign help, of its foreign citizens, of its foreign nationals, you know. Nobody's an island, you know.
Entire nations have been built on the on the back of foreigners.
Yes.
Who was specifically shipped in to do specific, to do precisely that reason.
They contribute economically to our country, you know. And I don't know, what upsets me as well is, man, Mabale, let's just break it down, this thing. Because for me, it does feel like self-hate. Because we look the same. How do you pick out a foreigner? And what... Like, I don't get it. I feel like, and then you go for a softer target.
Still, to this day.
To this day. Because if you look, I mean, when was that statistic released that spoke about the wealth distribution in this country and how wealth is still sitting in the hand of the minority, right?
Mm.
And then I'm going, so now instead of these people taking to the streets, and I'm not saying being violent, but going, no, we want to fight for this huge amount of wealth that's still sitting in the hands of a few, and fight for a way to it be spread over to us. You're gonna fight these few people who are contributing to us getting a bigger share of this wealth. Like, I don't understand.
But there's also the, you know, the one thing that South Africans forget is some of the reasons why, you know, somebody from Zim or Somalia ends up in this country.
Yes.
It's because they have escaped dire situations back in their home country.
Yes.
Now, you as a human being, as part of your survival instinct, when the shit hits the fan, your survival instinct kicks in and it lets you know where you need to find greener pastures.
Greener pastures.
So, you know, there's also this thing of go back home. But it's like, guys, but you don't understand how bad home might be for the people who end up in this country.
And what they've given up to be here.
And what they have given up to be here. They've left entire families behind. They've left them at home. They come into a hostile country like this one that doesn't specifically treat them, you know, doesn't open up their arms to them. They come here and they literally need to start in the trenches. You know, it's not as if foreigners are coming in here and they are, you know, out competing you in the position of MD, BMW. No.
Sure.
They come in here and they have to dig their way out of the trenches because that is the only environment that they can compete in economically to try and survive.
And when they establish their businesses, they're hiring South Africans. Like, I don't understand. Here's my thing. When you go and do your hair and you'll hear these women go, ooh, what's about the way those ladies from West Africa do your hair? They're so good. Yes. The Zimbabwean lady is so good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. We love their work. You know, when you need an outfit for a wedding and you're talking about how this Ghanaian lady has the best material, you know, is the best seamstress. And when you look at the people working for her, she's hired South Africans. You know what I mean? I don't understand. So these are the people you're happy to take from. But at the same time, you want to spit on them and tell them to F off home. Like, I don't understand, man. We consume, when I think about African magic and all these West African movies that we love to consume. I mean, when you go to Kasi and you watch how, you check how many people have watched more of these Nigerian films than they've watched of Hollywood films, than they've watched even of local films. You are consuming these people's culture. So where's the hate coming from? You know, and that's where I feel like it's about a minority of South Africans who have this problem. And it's time the majority got up. It's time South Africans got up and shut these efforts down who are sending the wrong message out to the rest of the world that we're a xenophobic country, because I don't think we are. I think it's a small group of people. In the same way that with racism, I always feel like this thing this fire can be put out very quickly as soon as everybody goes. If you think about it, it's the majority of us who make sense. It's the minority who have a problem, and all we need to do is squash that minority. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God, I just don't understand, because Lesotho is also a foreign country, but I don't see you attacking Basotho. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to understand xenophobia, because then it goes, xenophobia is anyone. No, they're
Botswana
attacking you from outside
country,
our country.
You're not
attacking.
From
Botswana,
yeah.
If you're from Lesotho, you are not being attacked. If you're from Swaziland, you're not
so
being
they're
attacked.
Very,
they're attacking your Zimbabweans, your Nigerians.
Africans. They are very specific in who they choose
yes,
to attack.
Yes.
So I didn't hear this, but apparently the president referred to this matter over the weekend, and he was talking about part of the problem is labeling the problem xenophobia, because then it makes it seem worse than it actually is, which I found to be, you know, a little bit confusing.
Why are you trying to understand the president to begin with? When did we ever... I thought we all agreed as a country to stop trying to understand
him. Okay, that's fine. And I admitted, and I said to myself, as soon as I hear the president speak, I immediately switch off.
You there? You don't pinch salt. You grab a handful of salt when he's speaking.
But it's not even, you know, because in my mind, his argument is irrelevant, because it's not even about attaching one word over another to it. It's not about the label. It's not about the word. It's about, and you raised a very important point, the self-hating thing that we as Africans grapple with time and time again. And in that case, it's really no longer appropriate to blame it on the white man. Because this is our
this
problem.
Is this is us. And what we're doing is un-African.
This is us manifesting the hatred, being bigoted about the situation, turning it into an us and them situation, targeting specific nationalities. Because you're right, people from Lesotho, from Botswana, I mean,
they're not facing the same
people go
problem.
To Mozambique on holiday, like at the end of the year. Oh, yes. I'm going to Mozambique.
That's another thing. And we expect to be welcomed.
But, yeah. But then, the counter argument to that, because, you know, if like when I was monitoring the Twitter feed last week, Friday, on the day of the march, when the, you know, the residents of Mamelodi, they're the ones who organized this march, as far as I understand, and they, you know, they took care of the whole thing. There were a lot of people who were also criticized, because the counter argument was that, but somebody like Tumi Moroka and Mabale Moloi don't understand, because they no longer live in the townships where the problem exists, where the problem is apparently bad. So Tumi and Mabale,
this problem they're talking about?
I'll get to it now. So Tumi and Mabale are considered to be privileged black people at this stage, because they're out there living in the burbs where it's nice and sunny and it's fun, and they get to drive around and drop their kids off at school and life is great. So how dare you, privileged Tumi and Mabale, try and tell me, somebody who lives in, let's say, Rosettenville, for argument's sake, try and tell me about how I cannot discriminate against someone when my environment has changed so dramatically because of the presence of these very, very specific groups of people. So in the weeks leading up to the march last week, the news was reporting that, you know, because there were a lot of arrests that were made in Rosettenville prior to the march. But before people got arrested, they, you know, what was the number again? I think it was a minimum of 10 houses were burnt to the ground.
Sure.
And it was done so by residents of Rosettenville, because they feel, Hori, they are fed up with, you know, drug lords from Nigeria who have moved into these areas, set up brothels, so they're prostituting out girls, and, you know, drugs have basically penetrated the neighborhood, so they've got everybody hooked on drugs. And then they said, Hora, when they go to the police, they discover, Hora, no, but the police are in the back pockets of these drug lords.
Yeah.
So if the police aren't going to do anything about it, then they're damn well going to do something about it, which is what ended up happening. So they burned houses down to the ground. Now, never a solution. It's not a good idea to take the violent
approach.
But this is where the conversation where the conversation becomes heated. Is then, you know, these people turn around and they're like, yeah, but Dumi, you have no idea what our problems are, because you're not there.
See,
so you actually have no right to tell me.
I was going
to
say, yeah. It's funny because I was actually going to bring that up next quarter. On the other hand, then we have to ask, do we need to be super careful when we have to address those issues of when there are crimes that do involve foreign nationals? Are we now not going to be allowed to say that these ones involving foreign nationals, because then it becomes xenophobic?
But there are plenty of crimes involving South Africans just as much.
Mm.
If you as a Nigerian drug lord have a police officer in your back pocket, why are you going after the Nigerian drug lord and then not subjecting the corrupt police individual to the same standard?
Mm.
Because this is where I find it problematic.
Mm.
Their attacks are specifically geared at, you know, specific people.
Mm.
But what about the South Africans who get roped up in these criminal activities?
Yeah.
What about them?
Yeah.
So them you're not going to go after. Why not?
Why aren't we marching?
Which is how, in my mind, I say that it's bigoted.
Mm.
Because if you're going to argue who you are trying to eradicate crime, then it must be everybody involved in that crime and not just the Nigerians.
Because the minute they start burning down their tuck shops, you know, I was having this conversation with my cousin. We were talking about how it has happened, actually. I think it was in Tabanchen Butsarelo, where some people tried to now start this shit as well of burning down foreigners' tuck shops and whatever. And the neighborhood was like, oh, is that your plan?
Mm.
And the neighbors themselves were like, right, we are going to go and protect that tuck shop. You get through us.
Okay.
You come through us.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can get to this.
Yeah.
And for me, I thought that's when you know that people are waking up. Because she was saying, you know what, she will go and buy from that shop that's owned by the Pakistani national. She will go and buy from that shop that's owned by that Ethiopian guy. Because they don't sell haeyo. They don't sell haeyo. They don't sell expired. They don't, you know what I mean? Like, they actually give a damn enough.
So as business people, they're running it better than their South African counterparts.
Yes. And instead of the South African counterpart going, ooh, my competition is doing it better, let me pull up my socks. Because, come on, you're shopping at the same place.
Mm.
You're buying with the same money.
Mm.
So instead of you doing it better, you decide that, no, I'm going to mobilize the people because this person is taking food out of my mouth. He's not. He's doing this thing the way you should be doing it.
He's out-competing you.
He's out-competing you.
Yeah.
So instead of you pulling up your socks, you'd rather get rid of that person. And that's another thing that's wrong with the mentality of this country.
Mm.
You know? We're not about, no, let me be the best I can be. We're about, don't let anybody else take my meat.
Yeah.
What are you doing to maintain your meat? You know? And it frustrates me because also, my kids are growing. You know, I look at Bonsu, he's 8. He questions things. If we're watching the news, he starts to listen and he'll want to know and he'll start to ask. And I'm thinking, this child of mine is a foreigner and a South African at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
How do I don't even know how to explain xenophobia to him. It is so confusing. Racism I find much easier to explain to him than xenophobia.
Yeah, because, you know, racism is, it's more clear. It's literally more black and white.
Yes.
It's like, oh, look, you're black, I'm white. That's where it is. But with the xenophobia, we're both African, we're both black.
Mm.
It's a little bit more difficult to try and understand and to explain.
Mm. And we must take our families on. I've said it once, I'll say it again.
Mm.
We need to take our families on. Mm. We need to take our friends on. You know, I started this thing with my family where that term lekwerekwere was thrown around so easily because it's a term that's always been there.
Yeah.
And I had to then go, no, this word is not okay.
Yeah.
And they'll say, how much do we when we say Daribui Hampi? I don't care.
It doesn't matter. It's
it doesn't matter
okay.
That we be Hampi.
Yeah.
You know, it's the equivalent of if a white person calls you kafir, but they're calling it in a nice way, and they say, ah, but I was calling you kafir ki because it's cute. You're still going to be offended. So how can it be okay that you're saying, you know what I mean? So the minute we start with the little, it's the little things, because the minute you start to acknowledge that you can't use certain words to describe someone, the minute you acknowledge you cannot be making fun of that complexion or making fun of how these people look or sound and go, we are Africans. Because what worries me here, Mabale, is that we're starting with xenophobia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Then the foreigners decide they don't want to come here anymore. Fine. We're no longer welcome in their homes either. Great. We're going to turn on each other and it's going to go back to just being purely tribal. Because that's what's next, isn't it? We're hating ourselves. That's already established. So now it's going to be Zulu against Tswana, against Shangaan, against Venda Sotho. You know what I mean? Mm. Then we're going to implode. And then what do we benefit at the end?
Nothing.
I
don't know what the solution is, though. And seemingly the leadership also doesn't know what the solution is. You know, I don't know that we're having the correct conversations to get together with the right people. Mm. Because, you know, yes, like, you and me are on Twitter, but, there's a very small minority of South Africans who are actually on Twitter. So the majority of them, they don't get to engage or to be a part of the discourse that, that plays out on social media, on Facebook. So I don't, you know, if we want to start talking about solving our problems through dialogue, we need to actually begin by making sure that we are having these conversations with each other and with the right people and the necessary people. And I don't know that our leaders have figured out what's the right way to do that just yet.
They can start with freaking Africa Day, man. They should have an Africa Month. And in that Africa Month, they should really invest their money in having events that include everyone, especially, you know, when you have asylum seekers and all those foreign nationals, even visiting touring foreigners, and actually have South Africans really get to know each other that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Really, I don't know. I think that's one of the best ways to start. Is start with the simple things. Include it even in schools. Make it part of the syllabus. Have Africa studies be one of your the things you teach in school.
And you know, I'm pretty sure that if you were to ask the average South African just, you know, minor general knowledge questions or for little historical facts on countries across the continent, the average South African is probably very ignorant and probably knows very little about these countries.
Yeah,
that in itself is a problem because, you know, it just feeds into this us and them situation where you as a South African feel, hurry, yeah, but I don't need to bother to know about what happens in Somalia. Why must I bother knowing? You see,
that
again for me also, again, just feeding into that whole thing of South Africans typically thinking that they are just a little bit better and just a little bit higher on that hierarchy than somebody from another country.
But I think it's also up to the arts, man. I mean, I look at music and I get excited when people like your Kuli Chanas, your AKAs, all these very popular artists, if you know, the fact that they do a lot of these collabos, your Mafikizolos, do these collabos with African artists, you know, and start to build this relationship with the continent, I feel like it also will filter down. You know, we need to get out of this little
bubble
that we live in.
Yeah. No, it's a sad state of affairs, but you know, if it's something that's going to keep flaring up and coming up again, I mean, this is not the first time that we've dealt with issues of xenophobia. So the fact that they keep coming back clearly shows that, you know, whatever we were trying to do to solve it hasn't worked. So we all need to go back to the drawing board.
Africa without borders.
To try harder. That was Thabo Mbeki's dream, wasn't it?
Yes.
Africa without borders.
But look, that's the bad news, right? We're done with the bad news. Because isn't it, that's how we do it? You know, bad news first.
Yeah.
And then you follow it up with good
news. Yes, yes.
Please tell me we're done with this bad news.
Okay, well, look, it's we'll wait and see. You mean like for now, specifically
for now on this show?
No, well...
Because it depresses me.
Yeah, but you know, just because something depresses you doesn't mean that you get to hide your head under the sand and not deal with it.
I think that we're such a cool country. Like when you travel, and that's another thing, man. I wish if I was like a billionaire, I would have some kind of fund that somehow gets people to travel. People need to travel and step out of their comfort zones.
Oh my gosh, people, you know, and I wish, actually, I agree with you 100%. I wish that every single person alive could get the opportunity to travel, because that is when you are introduced to customs, to traditions, to languages that are completely new to you. You know, that is when your little ignorant world is opened up just slightly
when
more.
When you realize the sun doesn't shut up your ass.
When you realize that you are not the most important thing on this planet, because you simply are not. I agree with you 100%. Mm. But I mean, that's just not something that will ever be realistic.
Ah, well, if wishes were horses.
Who was I having? I was having this conversation with someone a few days ago, and they were talking about if you had unlimited money, what would you do? And I said, if I had unlimited money, I would literally pick a country every month, a new country, and go and stay in that country for the month. And hopefully, within my lifetime, I would have seen, hundreds of countries. Ish. Just to go in and immerse yourself in something that you're not used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. Listen, do you want to... Should we talk about the... What's this? Should we talk about the SAFTAs? Because... as is the case with our star over here, you've been
our star.
You have been nominated. I mean, this is you've been nominated for how many again?
You know what my husband was saying to me that he pointed out. He says, you know, since the beginning of the SAFTAs, we've been involved in just about every SAFTAs award ceremony there's been. We've either been there because he was a judge, or because we wrote on a show that's nominated, or because we've been in a show that's nominated, or we've produced a show that's nominated. So I thought, that's not bad, actually. That's not bad for a track record.
And this has been since the beginning of the South African...
Since the very first SAFTAs 11 years ago.
The South African Film and Television Awards. So you are nominated yet again.
I know, hey, Best TV Presenter.
Oh! Who are you up against?
Oh, gosh. 10 million other people. It's a lottery. You know what I don't like about this nomination is that it's the lottery one. I prefer the one, to be honest, where the judges are the ones who decide on who wins. This one is the lottery where the audience vote.
And but I would think...
It's a bit lottery. No, man, because you see, the show I'm nominated for is called Point of Order, and it's on StarSat. Who do you know who's got StarSat?
I don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now I'm like, well, I hope people go online and watch it, because it's mostly online, it's at StarSat, and it's fantastic. And actually, I watched the episode that they submitted, and I'm like, yeah, it's actually freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But then how do I campaign for votes? Because now it means I must blindly campaign for votes because people saw me presenting OPW. I really thought I deserved that one. That's when Katlego Mabue took it, right?
Okay.
That was the first time that Visa wasn't Katlego won it that year. So I'm not up for that. And I'm up against people like Tembi Samdoda is up for it for OPW.
Yes.
And I think she deserves it because she's freaking awesome.
Right.
And then there's two other like... contenders there, because there's top three votes so far, because they were showing who's leading the pack,
okay,
the top three. It's her and two other people I've never heard of, but they do shows on the kiddie shows. That's probably why I don't know them.
Okay, all right.
On Crazy and on some other kiddies show, not kiddies but teen whatever.
Okay.
So you know, so I'm like, how do I compete with that?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a lottery. So I'm like, it's not really enough of a sell for me to go to the awards, but it's interesting when these awards come up, because that's when politics always comes up.
Oh man, I mean, didn't we see it over the weekend with the whole Metro Awards saga? But carry on.
Before we get into the saga, did you see Skulpad?
Ah, okay. For those of us who do not know, personally, I only found out about Skulpad this past weekend. I had no idea what people were talking about, who they were referring to.
Dude,
so tell.
Do you know what Skulpad is though?
It's a tortoise, yes.
So
who is Skulpadda and what is the story for the people who don't know? Because I myself only got educated this past weekend.
So apparently I'm gonna say apparently, because then I went on Instagram to try and find her account and I found it, and besides the shock, she sings.
Okay, so
don't ask me how. I don't want to have to now be attacked. I don't know. She sings. don't ask me my opinion of it.
Okay.
She sings.
Okay.
And I can see she's a town. Whoa, God, how do I say this without not getting into trouble?
I think she's from Gwagwa.
Yeah, I saw Free State Day.
I saw a couple of guys tweeting about, like, they were making fun of guys that I know who are from Gwagwa,
yes,
and I'm from Gwagwa myself, and they're like, So I think that she's from my hometown.
So
I'm sorry, people.
You know what? I can't falter. Here's my thing. We all can be very quick to judge and be like, oh, that's wretched. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I'm going to say it's the music industry. It kind of goes hand in hand with wretchedness. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But she apparently is trying to break into the industry in a big way.
But, I mean, when you talk about wretched and you having been onto her Instagram account, I mean, there's wretched and then there's just butt naked. I saw a picture.
Did you see the video? Forget the picture. Did you see the video that goes with the picture?
No, I haven't. Oh my God. I haven't seen any videos. I did see a picture that was screenshotted over the weekend where it's she's on the front page of some Sunday tabloid. She's wearing basically like a skirt with no underwear
material.
On.
Yes.
With no underwear
I
on.
Thought it was,
but the skirt is so
a petas. It's a petas.
You can basically see her butt.
Jama, if you further continue on her Insta, you see other things.
Okay.
But I was like, she got what she wanted.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you want the attention, you want people to talk about you.
Yeah.
She got that right.
Right.
You know, I don't think she said she's looking for dignity. She said she's looking for attention.
That's and
but what disturbed me is that thing of, but there's a line. Surely there's a line. You know that kids are also watching this show because everybody watches the Metros.
Did she perform at the Metros?
She didn't. She was just a guest, right?
Okay.
But
what was she wearing?
Like, I thought she was wearing a G-string because I saw a line, right?
What?
But it was a fupa. It wasn't a G-string line. It was a fupa.
So, what? Describe the dress that she was wearing. Is this a what was it? Yellow or
it's
orange?
It's a yellow dress.
It's a yellow dress.
It's a drape. It's literally draped in the front and in the back.
And there's a slit
that she goes, opens it up and then she raises her leg
and there's no underwear.
This.
So
she's naked.
Yeah.
She's naked,
and
bruh.
She basically reveals her front and her back.
No, just her side.
Oh,
but
you can see
but
the
butt lifting.
Because
then she puts the thing inside her, and I'm like, but oh my gosh! And that's when I was like, ah, that's not the line of underwear. That's
no.
A fupa.
Yeah, okay.
And people are going, Timmy, what's a fupa?
Yeah.
And
do it in the classiest
that upper pussy area.
Oh, okay. See, I was going to say do it in the classiest way that you can manage
that upper punani area.
No, that's fine. It's too late now. It's too late.
So that happened, and then we thought, okay, that's the worst. That's the most interesting of the metros.
The metros.
And then everybody was dressed gorgeous. I thought everybody looked lovely and interesting and stuck out the way they needed to stick out. And then, as usual, I always feel like our male artists can still afford to go to stylists.
I saw people there who rocked up on the red carpet with no shirts on.
And then they're going...
And you are showing your mkaba.
And then they bitch and moan that nobody takes them seriously. How can anybody take you seriously if you don't take yourself seriously?
If you are presenting yourself as a clown.
Oh, my God. Anyway, and then the politics happened. Then Ricky Rick wins and he makes a speech that makes us all sit down.
Okay, yeah. So now a lot of people have been questioning the credibility.
Yes.
Of maybe not just the Metro FM Awards. Should we lump all award shows in
there? But here's my thing. Why do we bitch and moan if we are not voting? Because my thing is, at the end of the day, we can all agree that Wololo is amazing and Good is amazing. Those deserve to win. Boma, what else would say owned 2016, you know?
Moreki
owned 2016. But my thing is, if nobody voted for those songs, because what if somebody goes, I get we voted last year, it was Song of the Yeah, it was the song that brought in the new year. So surely those votes count. No! This was a whole new slate of voting. Mm. This was a whole other awards thing. So for me, I find it weird when people say that in a category that's again a lottery category. Because is that not public votes that vote for the song of the year?
Mm.
So how then do we judge the system itself if it's based on SMSs? Because for me, something that's based on SMSs means I can walk onto a school campus right now with 100,000 rands worth of airtime and say, everybody, 20 votes from all of you, the rest of the airtime is yours.
Mm.
If I've bought it like that,
then
you
that
can't
fine?
Fault me.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say this is how the SMSs should come. It doesn't say this is the category of person who can vote. It says, vote as many times as you can to make this person win.
Yeah.
So if the person got their votes, they got their votes fair and square. Why must you piss on their parade?
Mm, mm,
you know, yes, if you think those other songs were better, why didn't you vote enough times to make sure that they get more votes than the song that won? Because which other awards are they questioning?
So then the question becomes, do award shows then reward the actual talent and the work, or are they just about a big popularity contest? Because if that's what it's about, then we all need to make that distinction and understand that is what an award show is about. Then it's about the most popular person in the classroom winning.
Yes, it's a popularity. For me, anything
it's not
that's
about
open
actual
public,
work talent.
Yes, yeah. For me, anything that's open to public voting becomes a popularity contest, but also becomes who's great at marketing and who's not.
Mm.
But a vote that's put to peers, or a vote that's put to judges, a panel of judges,
experts
in the field, an academy as it were, then I'm going, that's about skill. Because not everybody is an expert in music, but we know what we like and what we don't like.
Yeah.
So we're voting for what we like and what we don't like. You know, because you also look at the SAFTAs as well. I heard some people bringing up again how at the SAFTAs, they're talking about how, oh, but now all these producers are white. I'm like, yeah, so where are the black producers? Where's their work? And who, you know what I mean? Like, don't just question and then fight and be angry about why is so-and-so not nominated. Did their production company submit them for things? Because that's another thing. I don't know if people understand that you don't just automatically get nominated for a SAFTA. Production companies are given the responsibility of submitting episodes, submitting candidates, and submitting the footage that they feel best represents this person in the best light to win this award.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
People don't realize that.
No.
Then they think, no, let's all go be up in arms. Yeah. Oh, how can this show not be there?
Yeah.
How can that show not be there? You don't know whether that production company even submitted. And if they did they submit the right thing?
Mm.
Did they make it on time? Because that's another thing. As South Africans, I think the big thing across the board is we need to take ourselves seriously. If we want the awards to be credible, let's prepare properly for these awards.
Which, you know, judging from the Twitter activity over the weekend with the Metro FM Awards, I mean, I didn't watch the awards. I couldn't. I wasn't in front of a TV.
Mm.
And so I was monitoring Twitter.
I was working as well.
I was monitoring Twitter every now and again. And a lot of people were very critical about a lot of things.
Mm.
There was the issue of the quality of the production itself. There was, you know, issues raised about just simple mistakes that were being made. So lighting issues, people not being able, you know, having like this massive light shone in their face and them not being able to see.
Mm.
You know, then there's the issue of sound quality, da-da-da-da. So when you say things like, as South Africans, we really need to take ourselves seriously when it comes to putting on good shows, that is a very important point to make.
Yes, because you know,
because it is unacceptable that in 2017 you know have a production that goes out on national television and it's live and people can still pick it apart based on simple little mistakes that should not be happening at that level.
And you know what, beyond that, it's the rehearsal thing. I mean, I remember when I was working at the SAMAs a few years ago, when I noted how many people don't show up for their rehearsals, and then they're surprised when they look stupid when the thing goes live. Sometimes people need to consider that as well.
Yeah.
Because the technical team can do what they can do, but if you're not there for the damn rehearsal, it's not going to help anyone. For example, let's talk about lighting. I don't know if they rehearsed for the Metros. I wasn't there. But there should have been a technical rehearsal. And let's say in that technical rehearsal, that light is supposed to be bright because it's for something else. Mm. There isn't supposed to be a person there.
Mm.
And then when that person finally shows up, they're standing in the light. That's not for them.
Mm.
You understand? That's supposed to highlight something
but
else.
But you never
you look stupid.
Did you see the memes? But
I didn't see the memes.
No,
but
you literally have people holding up their
hands.
That's
another thing. How
to cover their eyes. Because
can we be honest about anything that has to do with tendering and government?
Hey,
can we just be honest and go?
It's all about,
let's talk about how people buy their way into tenders as well.
It's all about who you know. It's all about,
connections. Who you know.
And the person that you know and are awarding the tender to might not necessarily be the most skilled person in that
department. And that's another thing.
So they don't know
if
what they're
gonna
doing.
If we're going to hook each other up, here's my thing. Can we, let's say for argument's sake, just for now, we were to say, okay, let's regulate bribery and corruption. Let's regulate it. My thing is this, eat. We all want to eat.
We
fine,
all want to eat. I want to
all
eat.
All I'm asking is deliver a fucking product.
Yeah, yeah. Eat.
Because the point of then, eating isn't yeah. for you to not do the freaking work properly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about you skimming off the top. Skim off the top, but deliver the freaking product. Is that such a freaking hard thing to ask for?
It is.
Know what you're doing.
To me, it is a hard thing
to
ask for.
For me, if you're going to buy your license, know how to drive. Don't buy your license and then kill someone on the fucking road.
No, but
do you understand? I'm not saying these things are okay.
No,
I'm
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's say we can't do anything about the fact that they happen.
Because they do happen. We live in the real world and they happen the world over.
But please, if you don't know what the hell you're doing, you cannot be jumping in there. That is not fair. Do it because you know you have the skill and the know-how, but you know you're going to struggle to get in for whatever political reason, for whatever, you know, whatever cock-blocking situation is happening because you slept with Mabale and Mabale is bitter. So now you must bribe your way in because you know Mabale is already going to say no because she's still angry because you had a bad relationship ending. You know what I mean?
And just take pride in being able to do something
yes.
and doing it properly.
Do it properly, man.
Because, you know, I think this is another problem is that, you know, I think South African consumers are also just tired of mediocrity.
Dude.
We are tired of constantly bitching and moaning
Dude.
About, but why do these awards look as terrible as they do?
Dude.
There is no reason why they should look as bad as they do, so why do they? People get tired of being subjected to mediocre stuff.
Because also South Africans need, especially these organizers and these broadcasters, need to remember, we watch American award shows.
Mm.
When you try and copy them on a 5-cent budget, when they spend 5 million, we're not stupid, man. We can see when we're watching a cheap version of a better thing.
Mm, mm.
Do our own thing. Mm. We have had beautiful ceremonies in this country. You know, I get to do a lot of corporates where I see these smaller companies put on such slick productions. And I think to myself, but if you take this thing and you keep it as simple as possible. Keep it as simple as possible and just put it on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. And put on those awards. See what happens. Let the talent shine. Don't let all the other bells and whistles that you're trying take away from the actual talent that's there.
And also don't let it take away from what you actually have to work with.
Yes.
This is a very important point that you make. We are always constantly trying to copy somebody else. We're always trying to copy the blueprint.
Yes.
But there is no way we are going to do it better than the Americans. It's just not possible.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
So then let's not even bother going down that route. Let's then do it our way, a different way. Hollywood, Bollywood, Nollywood, everybody has their own thing that they do.
I must say, I want to give the SAFTAs a chance. I'm going to give them a chance. Because, you know, they're happening in Sun City now. Apparently, for the next few years, they'll be happening in Sun City. I'm sure it's a sponsorship.
Yeah,
I hope it's a sponsorship.
That's very fancy.
It's fancy, but it's 3 days away in Sun City. People are still on productions, shooting things. Most productions are shot in Joburg. So when they were in Joburg, it was so much easier because people would literally leave set earlier so that they could go to the awards. And then tomorrow, we can all be back at work. Now it's 3 days in Sun City, guys.
Oh, people even going to work? Or are they going to be prioritizing other things?
I don't know. I want to do a critique of those awards only after they have happened.
Okay, that's fine. When are the awards happening? Do you know off the top of your head? Or must I look it up here quickly?
Yeah?
Let's see if I can look it up. The 16th of March.
Yes.
That's when it's happening.
Yes.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time.
And with the Oscars, we know who the host is, like what, a year in advance? A few months in advance. How long in advance do we know?
Quite a while in advance. Like it gives them time to. We still don't.
Please, I dare you to Google.
Do we still not know who is hosting?
I don't know who's hosting.
But maybe the person.
Nobody's been annoyed.
Person who's hosting know that they're hosting?
Damn it.
Does that person at least know?
I'm sitting here thinking, how many artists in this country sit like that? I mean, my calendar fills up in advance.
Mm.
I need to know what I'm doing.
You're a busy
person.
So
at least I know. I already know I'm not hosting because clearly no one, you know, but I'm going. Is there someone who seriously, is there an artist out there who can be told the week of? Like, shouldn't we all be building up to watching it?
Dude.
Or building up to attending because we know this is who's hosting?
It's not very forward thinking. It's actually a very backward thinking concept. And I remember when Ladysmith, Black Mambazo were doing some other interview on a local radio station. And somebody was tried to criticize them and say, yeah, but why are you guys always, you know, doing like touring for Europe? For England, and you guys, you don't give, you know, your home country the same amount of attention when it comes to doing live shows for them. And the response was very simple, and they were like, Bona, when we're touring in Europe, it's because those people booked us 12 months ago. Booked us 12 months ago. You, as South Africans, you have a show that comes up in a month, and then you think, oh, who can we get? Oh, get Ladysmith, Black Mambazo. Sorry, guys, I can't do it because I'm away in Europe, where I knew 12 months ago already where I'm going to be away in Europe this month. When now you want to tell me the month before that you want to book us? We are shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, because we must eat. Like, I always say this to my management as well, to anyone, in fact, that, look, what I need people to understand, and then people try to treat you like, oh, you're a diva, you're acting like you're all busy. No. Thing is, I'm not sitting here waiting for you to give me something to do.
You are working.
I'm working. Yeah. We're all freelancers. Most artists in this country are freelancers. Mm. You need to respect that. We're not sitting, waiting, and hoping for a phone call. So,
well, not you, but some of them are. But it's because they're starting out. It's tough in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. But somebody like you who's established, you are working all the time.
But also give your artists enough time to prepare themselves. If you want the best host, because you know what? Also, we want to groom hosts. I feel like I watch TV, South African TV, and I go, oh, this person would be fantastic hosting an award ceremony, but they would need time to be part of the script writing process, for example, because we know there's a funny guy who's going to write that script, but that voice is still going to need to sound like Mabale's voice.
Yeah,
it cannot sound like they're saying somebody else's lines. Because I've seen when our IT girls are put there on a stage to say stuff, and then it falls flat. You know why? Because a clever person wrote a script.
Yeah.
She did not get the chance
to participate
in that. She did not get a chance to put this thing in her own voice.
Yeah.
And then she gets on stage and then we're going, why is she trying to be funny? As if she's the one who sat and wrote the script all night.
Mm.
So I just feel like they also need to support the artists. Our awards organizers need to support their artists.
Mm.
They need to best equip their artists to host these shows. Otherwise, we're going to always have the same people hosting these shows because it's ingrained in them.
Mm.
They don't need that much work.
Because, right, yeah.
Then how are we going to grow the industry? Then you're crying, open up the industry.
You know, the whole thing is just such a mess. And I think that we all need to maybe just do a little bit better in terms of informing ourselves as well. Because, you know, another favorite pastime of ours is we love to bitch and moan.
Oh, my gosh.
And half the time, we don't even have half the information.
Mm.
So this whole process that you outlined with, you know, producers having to submit to nominate for the SAFTAs, like a lot of people don't know the background story, the behind the scenes, the inner workings of, you know, how things are done in the industry. But we are the first in line to complain and to moan about open up the industry, or why does Bonang always get all the jobs, or why do they always have the same actors in every soapy, or why, like. Yeah, but we don't do our research. We don't actually know how the inner workings of said industry.
Consummate professional, this Bonang.
We're going to have to wrap it up there because we have run out of time.
We have run out of time.
Yes, so 16th of March, SAFTAs, where we hope to see you win.
Yes.
I love it when you win.
The televised ones on the 18th, so that's the one where I'm hoping to win.
Oh, okay. Yes, all right. Yes. Good to see you this week.
Good to see you, my honey.
I don't know if
I'm definitely seeing you again next week. And then
that is fantastic news.
We do have some news to share in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Breaking news. Yeah, no, we'll fill you in. We'll tell you about that a little bit later. In the meantime, good luck with your dental situation.
Thanks, my honey. Send me drags. Okay, wait, they're going to give me drags. Come share drags.
I'm there.
I'm like, that's the only reason I'm looking forward to.
Don't even tempt me. Oh, gosh. This time.
I'm going to sleep like a baby. Anyway. If you have extra airtime and you're feeling extra generous, especially in my direction, please SMS J to 48430. That's J to 48430 to vote for me, Timmy Moranking, as best TV presenter.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Sipping Tea. I'm Mabali Moloi.
I'm Tumi Morake.
And we will see you next week.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.